Well, good morning, church. How are you all doing? That's good. Well, today's message that we're looking at is called Being Faithful to What God Has Called You. Let me just pray before we jump into the message. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it is so simple, the message that you've given us to follow and apply to our lives. And I just pray this morning, Lord, that you help me not to complicate it, but that you would help me to make it clear and just easy to attain to in each of our lives and our specific situations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Being faithful to what God has called you. It's the big question that pretty much everyone asks in life at some point or another. The question, what is the purpose of my life? And as Christians here, we often ask a similar question when we say, what has God called us to do? Or what is God's will for my life? Throughout May Missions Month, we've been talking about this idea of crossing the street. We've been talking about crossing the street and not just meaning, hey, during May, go for a walk and make sure you cross the street each day. Rather, we've been referring to following Jesus' example. Following his example of stepping out of our comfort zones, building bridges with people around us and meeting people where they are at. And all doing all these things, all with the hope that we could introduce them to Jesus. And throughout this month, we've had some different speakers and testimonies, and maybe as you've been listening to some of these people share, you've been really encouraged by some of the speakers that we've had and the testimonies. But sometimes as well, as we've been listening, maybe you've said this to yourself, you said, oh, it's great that that person does that, but I could never do that. Or you say, oh, it's great that someone is a small group leader, but I could never be a small group leader. Or it's great that Colin and Dion preach on a Sunday, but I could never preach on a Sunday. Or I could never be a missionary. And without meaning to be rude, the truth is that most of us in our lifetime will never be any of those things. And that's actually okay, because God hasn't called you to be someone else. God hasn't created me to be you, and he hasn't created you to be someone else. But the problem is that what we start to do is we start to compare ourselves to other people. And when we start comparing ourselves to other people, we start thinking and feeling about ourselves like we have nothing to offer. We have nothing that we can do for God. But the fact is that Scripture just says that's not true. In Ephesians 2 verses 10 and even the verses that Shamila read for us just a short while ago, it says in Ephesians 2, it says that we are God's masterpieces. He has created us anew in Christ so that we, each one of us, can do good things and the good things that he has planned long ago. And in the verses that Shamila read, it is evident that each one of us, we aren't created to be someone else. We are created to be who God wants us to be, who God has made us to be, sorry. If God has good things for each of us to do, how do we know what they are? And sadly, I think over the years, this topic has had too many intricate breakdowns, books written about it, classes and formulas trying to explain specifically, this is God's plan for your life. This is exactly what it looks like. It will never change. But I believe that God didn't make it that complicated. He made it extremely simple for us. And because if you're a follower of Jesus, the good things that God has for us to do goes like this. He wants us, firstly, to love Jesus with all your heart, all your mind and soul. And secondly, he wants you to love your neighbour as yourself. But what's important to remember about these two things, the good things that he wants us to do, is that we need to do it wherever we go and whatever we are doing. So whether you're a stay-at-home parent and you're looking after kids and that's all you're doing, all you got to do is love Jesus with all your heart, mind and soul and love your neighbour as yourself. Or maybe as a tradie on the work site, or as a lecturer at college, or maybe you're retired, you live in a retirement village. You're a student at uni, a carer, a volunteer at the local RSPCA, or a different situation altogether. The good things that God has prepared for you to do is to love Jesus with all your heart and to share that love with those that are around you in your circumstances. So being faithful to God's call is as simple as crossing the street and showing, crossing the street where we are right now in our lives and showing the love of Jesus. But it's not always that easy, is it? I can hear the thoughts already. If you only knew my boss, if you only knew the kind of work environment that I'm in right now, if you had ever met my neighbours, if you knew my family, if you knew the customers that I face every day. When I was a carpenter, I had faced similar difficulties as well. But what I realised is as years went by and I looked back after going to Bible college and having time in ministry, I looked back on those times and I realised that often that those difficulties that I would talk about were actually just excuses that I was making because I was scared. I was scared of doing what God had called me to do. And what's surprising, or maybe not surprising to us, is that this isn't just a problem for followers of Jesus today. The Bible has many examples of people that struggled to follow God's call at different times in their life. Think of the Apostle Peter, or King David, or Moses, or even the nation of Israel. But in particular today, I want to look at the prophet Jonah and look at his situation when he struggled to follow God's call in his life. Most of us know about the prophet Jonah from the famous story Jonah and the Big Fish. But if you don't know, Jonah was a prophet of God to the people of Israel. So he was pretty clued in on what God had called him to do with his life. Unlike other prophets, though, Jonah was actually quite popular among the people because back in 2 Kings chapter 14, we could read about the prophecy that he spoke over Israel regaining the lost territory, that which came true. And then not only did the territory was it regained, but along with that, years of prosperity and peace followed for the nation. So you could say that he's probably, as a prophet, he's at the top of his game. He's probably feeling pretty confident, and that's when God gives him his next call, his next duty to take care of. And we see this in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 of Jonah. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I've seen how wicked its people are. Surely Jonah was ready to go, raring to go. God had given him his next assignment. He'd already been successful in the past, and he should have been ready to follow God's calling. All he'd asked him to do was cross the street and go to the city of Nineveh. But that's not what happens, is it? And we see in verse 3, but Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and he went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. What has happened? Jonah has deliberately disregarded what God had called him to do for his life. He'd not only disregarded it, but he'd decided that Jonah had a better plan for the people of Nineveh. And I think it's a little bit like us today. At times we struggle with being faithful to what God has called us to do in our life compared to choosing what we want to do. Charles Spurgeon is a great preacher, and over his years he's written many different books, and he's got a book of illustrations that I think captures this, the sort of idea of the attitude that we can sometimes have towards church, but then which can also be related towards following God's calling. And it goes like this. It says, the weekly Sunday service was coming up, but church member A thought that it looked like rain, and so he concluded that his family members, including himself, must stay home out of the rain. But on the Monday evening following, it was raining extremely heavy, and that same church member booked a carriage for his whole family to head off to the Academy of Music. But church member B thought that he was too tired to go to church, so instead he stayed home and he worked on the sled that he'd promised to make for his son, Billy. Then church member C thought that the pavements were looking a little bit too slippery to head out to church. It would be too dangerous for her. Yet the next morning she was seen walking down the street to get her old bonnet done up with stockings pulled up over her shoes to make sure she wouldn't slip. And that Sunday, 3/4 of the members stayed home from that week's service. How many times have we found ourselves in those situations where we've opted for what we wanted to do compared to what God had called us to do? Just like Charles Spurgeon's illustration, we find it easy to make excuses, to not do what God has called us to do. Like, my neighbour doesn't talk to me, so why should I talk to them? Or my colleagues at work are going to ask questions that I won't even have the answers to. Or I'm just so busy all the time, I don't have time to stop and talk. Or I just started here, so who would want to listen to me? Or they're my family, they don't care what I think. So what happens in life when we are faithful to what we want to do, when we listen to the excuses? Well, in Jonah's scenario, not only did he not choose to do what God wanted him to do, he went the extra mile by running in the opposite direction. Boarding a ship to Tarshish, he had his ticket ready to go, his bags were packed, the sun was probably shining as the ship left the dock. But things didn't stay that way for very long. Soon Jonah was going to realise the consequences for choosing what he wanted to do over what God had called him to do. And we see it begin in verse 4. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Because Jonah had chosen not to listen to God's calling in his life, God had brought about a powerful storm. A storm that if God wanted to, could have ripped that ship that he was in two. Yet God brought this storm as a way of trying to get Jonah's attention. And sometimes God does the same thing for us in our lives. Sometimes there's uneasy around the way things are going at work. Or sometimes there's maybe something that happens amongst the neighbourhood or in our family or the people that we run into. Something just doesn't seem right. And God allows these things to brew in our life as a way of trying to get our attention to say, hey, what have I called you to do? Are you doing what I have called you to do? And we see continuing on. The storm has started brewing, but then in verses 5 and 6, we see fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors that were on the ship with Jonah shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. So the captain went down after him. How can you sleep at a time like this? He shouts. Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives. I don't know if Jonah was just extremely stubborn that he was not doing what God wanted him to do, or whether Jonah was just starting to lose his passion and desire, because as a prophet of the one true God, here he found himself on a boat full of unbelievers. And these unbelievers were the ones that were crying out, praying to their gods in the midst of this violent storm, while Jonah wasn't just kicking his feet up, relaxing. It says that he was sound asleep. When we choose to ignore God's call in our lives, we might be able to keep doing things physically like Jonah was. He was physically running away, doing things in his own strength. But as we continue on striving to do things in our own strength, slowly our spiritual passion and desire will fade without God's input and guidance. So we've seen that Jonah has chosen not to listen to God's call. He was now facing a violent storm. He was losing his spiritual passion and desire, but there's still more consequences to come. This hadn't got Jonah's attention yet. In verses 8 to 10, it says then, why has this awful storm come down on us? And this is the sailors asking. And they demanded Jonah, who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality? And Jonah answered them, I am a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. And at that moment, the sailors were terrified when they heard this. For he had already told them when he was getting on the ship that he was running away from the Lord. And they say, why, oh, why did you do it? They groaned. And I think this is one of the things that we often don't consider when choosing to do what we want to do over what God has called us to do. And the fact is that Jonah was losing his testimony. We know already that he was popular among the people because he had prophesied already things that had come true. Yet now here he is, a prophet of the one true God who made the land and the sea. And he was on board a ship full of unbelievers. He told them he was running away from God, the God that he speaks for. And now this is the reason why they're facing the possibility of dying. Just imagine if these sailors survived this situation? What would they say about Jonah? What stories would they tell when they get back on land, start talking to their friends? Can you believe this prophet of God? He was trying to run away and almost sank our ship. Yet losing his testimony still wasn't enough. There was one more thing that Jonah almost lost. In verses 12 and 15, we see that Jonah, after telling them that he's the reason this is happening, he turns to them and he says, "Throw me into the sea and it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault." And so the sailors picked up Jonah and threw him into the raging sea. And at once, the storm stopped. It seems that Jonah was even ready to give up his own life because he wanted to do what he wanted and not what God had called him to do. And surely he didn't expect to survive in this vicious storm in the middle of the ocean with nothing. Yet he still chose what he wanted. He was running away from God's call on his life. But in doing so, he lost his spiritual passion, desire. He'd lost his testimony. And now it looked like he would lose his life. So what happens to us when we find ourselves in Jonah's shoes? Because we all know that there's times in our life when we don't want to do what God has called us to do. When we get that inkling of, oh, he just wants us to say this to that person, or he wants us to do that for that person, but we just don't want to. Well, firstly, we shouldn't be surprised if, like Jonah, we face storms in our life, if things start to come up, if things aren't as easy as they were before. We shouldn't be surprised if our spiritual passion and desire starts to fade. Or we shouldn't be surprised if people start to question our faith and our commitment to following Jesus. And secondly, what we need to remember is that these are signals, these things that start to take place in our life when we choose to do what we want, are signals for us to remind us that God is trying to get us back on track. He's trying to get your attention. And hopefully you notice before it gets to Jonah's situation and you find yourself in the middle of the ocean. But thirdly, and most importantly, we need to remember that Jonah's story didn't finish with him being thrown into the ocean. And what we see take place after Jonah ends up in the drink, the Lord arranges a giant fish to come and swallow Jonah. And we know that Jonah was in the fish for 3 days and three nights. And during that time in the fish, he starts to draw close to God, praying out to God, crying out to God inside the fish. And eventually, he starts to realize what he's done wrong. And so the Lord orders the fish to spit him up out on the beach. And then what does God do? He speaks to him a second time. And God reminds him of the call that he gave him at the beginning. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. And this time, Jonah obeys the Lord's command. And he goes to Nineveh and all the people repent. Isn't it great that God is so merciful with Jonah? He's so patient and long-suffering with Jonah. Even though it took Jonah being thrown into the sea and almost drowning and getting eaten by a giant fish to realize that he needed to get back on track with God's call for his life. And thankfully, that same God is the same towards us today. He's given us calls and things to do in our life. And maybe some of us are running away from those things that he's asked us to do. Yet, he is always waiting for us to come back and be reminded of the call that he originally gave us. Which brings us back to our original question. How are you being faithful to what God has called you to? How are you following God's call in your life? How are you crossing the street and showing the people around you the love of Jesus? Remember, it doesn't matter if you will never be a prison chaplain. It doesn't matter if you will never be a missionary, a prophet to the nation. Because God has created you uniquely to be who you are and to be what you're doing and to be doing what you're doing right now. So how can you show your work colleagues Jesus' love? Maybe it's something as simple as just praying for them every day. You don't even have to tell them. Or maybe you do tell them. You pray for them for a week and you tell them, I've been praying for you. What can I pray for specifically? How can you show your neighbours Jesus' love? Maybe instead of just ignoring them, not talking to them, it means just introducing yourself. Or it means saying hello every time you walk by them. Or maybe it means baking a cake and taking it over to them. Or inviting them over for a meal. Or how can you show love to your family? Maybe it's as simple as having a family devotion before dinner every night. Maybe it's as easy as just praying with your kids before they go to bed. What are you doing in your situation, where you are right now, to show the love of Jesus? How are you sharing the love of Jesus with those he's placed around you? Because that is what he's called all of us to do. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, that the call that you have given us is not complicated. It is the same call that Jesus came here to this earth and fulfilled. He came to this earth many years ago and he shared his love with those that he encountered in every situation that he was in. And Lord, that's all that you are asking us to do. If we're followers of you, all we need to do is love those around us like you love us. And Lord, I just pray for each one of us that you would give us opportunities this week to do that, to cross the street, to show your love to those who maybe don't know you yet. And just give us the confidence to follow your call. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.